Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. June 25th, Friday, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Yes, we had an extra show today. We had a great interview with Whitney Webb this morning that was just knocked it out of the park. And I really, really hope people will take the time to listen, digest the research, watch the entire interview. It was really important. A lot of very clear direction that was laid out with very obvious connections. But we also did a little theorizing on where it seems this is going and what might end up happening based on the direction, based on their history, the people involved. And it's an alarming situation. Now, today is going to be, I said yesterday, it was about 2 hours or so, but today is going to be intentionally short. We're going to keep it to some very important topics today. I wanted to include these specific things that I wasn't just going to wait off until tomorrow because I had the interview with Whitney today. I had to get this stuff out because it's very important stuff. Good to see Marshall in the chat. Glad everyone's showing up today. Now, let's jump right in to some very important stuff. I'm going to start with something we just talked about actually first, the WHO thing really quickly, just to kind of lay this out again about what just happened and how a lot of well-intentioned people are misrepresenting that story. And I just think it's a good lesson to learn for where we are right now. But the main things we're talking about are what the mainstream media just reported about Australia and then changed it and hid that and pretend like it didn't happen. A lot of revisionist actions happening today where they're actively covering up what they just said a moment ago. But we're also going to talk about the CDC lying to you about something we've unequivocally proven. And we'll show you the documents to prove it. A massive study that's showing you, a peer-reviewed study showing you, telling you that they're yet again finding, just like the Wall Street Journal article, that these vaccines are concerning and we need to rethink everything we're doing. But the media won't tell you that, but trust the science though, right? And of course, we're going to talk about a new study and a doctor speaking out about the fact that the study seems to suggest from The Lancet that the Pfizer specifically reduces your antibodies. Very interesting discussion. Now let's start off with a couple of quick points here I wanted to share. One from just a quick shout out that I thought was pretty great. The Ron Paul Institute of all places just shared Whitney's article, shouting at, you know, basically a very, it's a great thing to see for somebody like the Ron Paul Institute, regardless of what you may think of them. I know there's plenty of people that have their opinions, but I have great respect for Ron Paul. And I think that this is a great thing to see that an outlet like this is continuing to share the Last American Vagabond content. I think that's fantastic. And it shows you that we're reaching people, guys. That's the important part. We are reaching people. Here is the interview we did today with Whitney. Whitney Webb interview, their Welcome Leap toward transhumanism and why you're now a terrorist. Now, Welcome Leap is an extension of Welcome Trust, which we've talked about, and that is spelled correctly. And this is an alarming step forward, and we get into some pretty crazy stuff. They're both articles she recently wrote, both of which are in the show notes, and you can are in this show notes of this interview, which you could read, and I hope you will. Watch it all for yourself. Somebody saying YouTube's already censoring this channel, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Who cares? Why are you on YouTube? YouTube is a broken, terrible platform that literally breaks itself in order to stop us from being able to broadcast certain things. It's hilarious. I love it. But next thing. Quick note, I just saw this people sending this to me. Everyone's all these things coming out about UFOs. Oh my God, look at this. National intelligence is going to release anticipated report and everyone's pointing to these things. And all I say, I'm not even trying to make an argument real or not. I'm simply saying, here's what the government's feeling right now. Please look at anything other than our dumpster fire of a COVID-19 agenda that is burning down in front of everybody right now. Oh, look, aliens. That's my takeaway right now. That's not even to suggest real or false. They want you to, they might actually be telling you the truth just to get you to look away from what they're trying to accomplish right now. I literally feel strongly that nothing is more important than what they're trying to accomplish in regard to the vaccine distribution and administration and the Great Reset direction and the whole technocratic transhumanist direction. What's funny is this used to be kind of a subtopic. This is not, when we say transhumanist, when we say, we point, this is not an opinion. This is an openly stated direction, guys. That's the crazy part about this. Please read this, look at the documentation. Now, coming over into the first part of this, we just did this a couple days ago, the 22nd. WHO says children should not be vaccinated. Now, note that I didn't say WHO alters a recent update or something like that, which is the misrepresentation of this story. Now, it's important. I'm going to go through the whole thing before you jump the gun and say, I'm just parroting what the fact checkers have said. Let me prove to you that that's not true and show you why even the fact checkers are also incorrect. I know, shocking, right? But here's the interesting part about this. And I want to be very clear that I'm not in any way trying to call anybody out. I actually feel like pretty much everyone we're going to show today had the best of intentions, just trying to share that important thing, because you know what? It's pretty easy to believe that they did, that they would put out a statement and the next day completely change it for political reasons. That's not hard to believe. We saw similar timeframes with herd immunity vaccine, even though there's a little more time in there, but to get to the point. Oh, and before that, this should have been the first thing I showed you. I just think this is an important quote from Mark Twain to think about in this kind of concept, and not in any indication of people being intentionally dishonest, just simply a lie, whether intentional or not, can travel around the world and back again while the truth is still lacing up its boots. It's a great quote from Mark Twain. The point being that false information that we want to believe will spread like wildfire, even in contrast to the facts being presented against it, which is sort of another point I'll make today. Just important to think about. And this is something that's abused constantly. Now, this is what triggered it for me this morning, was it yesterday? Now, Cheryl Atkinson shared this, and it looks like she's actually quoting somebody. I don't know who, but, I will say, well, first it says the World Health Organization posted an update to its website Monday, June 21st, that is inaccurate. And I'll show you why, that children should not be vaccinated for the moment. Within 24 hours, that's again, the inaccurate part, this guidance was withdrawn. And new guidance was posted, which stated that COVID vaccines are safe for those over 18 years of age. Now, the only inaccurate part is that the update wasn't done that day, and it wasn't changed within 20, which it was, well, the 24 hours, I'll explain in a second why that's kind of correct. But as I said, well, that's not actually exactly accurate. The earliest archive of the page was April 8th, and I showed this on my show before I ever looked at any fact check. First time I looked at a fact check about this story was today. And it said it then. It said that same thing on April 8th. So I believe it said that from the start. That was just my guess. And it was still there up until June 21st. The next day it was changed, still very dishonest. And I really believe that. And I followed up saying, sorry, I meant to give you the link, which is right here, which I'll show you next. Now, and to her credit, by the way, Cheryl immediately retweeted this, right? So, I mean, it feels to me, regardless of people's opinions on whoever anywhere, that she wants the accurate part of this discussion. Right? Otherwise, that wouldn't have happened, in my opinion. Now, going forward, somebody rando zebro here and commenting in the chat of her tweet says this: I'm highly critical of constant disinfo from the mainstream media and their quote experts. But every source this person's saying they rely on for accurate information has in fact misrepresented or misreported this story about WHO information, RE kids and vaccine appearing this week. And she points out a lot of them. Here's Gillian McKeith. I'm not actually familiar with her, but the Defender. You know, generally saying the same thing, children should not, and that saying that they updated their guidance, it's actually not accurate, right? Now, again, I really do not think any of these people were trying to deceive anybody. I think this was an easy thing to see and look at today and look at the change and go, oh, well, obviously they changed it, right? Why would they have on there the children shouldn't be vaccinated, right? So the first thing I actually did was go, okay, well, let's find the archive. Let's see if what's the earliest archive of that page? That was the first thing that I did. And you would argue that should be something, well, you know, anyway, that's the first thing that I did. Now, I agree with this person going there. I'm kind of disappointed, right? Saying that people have a lot of followers and they got it wrong, pointing to Cheryl and different people and, you know, kind of just rolling out the difference. And I jumped in and said, not this source, but I was very clear about that. Now, I also, that's just the same tweet. I shared that out so people could see the link that I talked about. Now, here is April 8th, as you can see from the archive up top. As far as I can tell, at least on this Wayback Machine, this is the oldest archive of this page. Okay. Now, what it says on this page on April 8th, 2021 is the same thing. Children should not be vaccinated for the moment. Now, it's my opinion that this was simply what they probably had there. Because in the beginning, it was like uncertain, remember? We don't know. Children aren't seem to be affected. We haven't tested children yet. So in the very beginning, it was kind of, that was the statement. We don't know. Then the push came. Well, children are at risk and we have to do it anyway, right? So whether it was there before April 8th or not, I can't verify. But I know that from April 8th forward, it was there. And it could be that it was there from the beginning or something that they added. Now, either way, the fact that it was there from April 8th all the way until June 21st is just as important, right? So all that first stuff is just to make sure we're being accurate. But it's still just as important. You know why? Because they were telling people that children should not be vaccinated while children were being actively vaccinated. Like, that's crazy. And it's not crazy because it's happening all across the board. WHO says we shouldn't be using lockdowns and they're doing that anyway. They say we shouldn't be doing a lot of things they're doing They just do them anyway. But simultaneously, we're, quote, not allowed to challenge WHO guidelines, which is really ridiculous and confusing, which is probably the point. But going to the next one, again, to show you, June 21st, just to see, you see that it was there all that time. Same exact page, no difference. Children should not be vaccinated for the moment. Now, here is what it says today. It shifted from, and this is exactly, you can see from where it changes, or technically, this is all the same. It changes right after this part. So it'd be after frail forward. And this part right here is what they added, right? So I'll read this first. Again, this is the same thing it says today. If supplies are limited in your area, discuss your situation with your care provider. If you have a compromised immune system or pregnant, all these things, really frail, basically find out if you should even take it, right? If they're limited, because if they're not limited, even if you're at risk, just do it anyway. That's like the underlying sentiment, which is what they're saying everywhere. Just do it. Just be safe, even though it's not safe at all. But anyway, secondary point, it says children, this is their update. Children and adolescents tend to have milder disease compared to adults. So unless they're part of a group at higher risk, which they're not because they're in the child group, so they're not at high risk. And because understand, even with comorbidities, they're basically still at zero, according to the CDC. Of severe COVID-19, it is less urgent to vaccinate them than older people, those with chronic health conditions and health workers. But here's the point. More evidence is needed. Exactly. More evidence is needed to the use of different COVID vaccines in children, right? And they make it clear up here that they say COVID is safe for 18 or older. So they basically say the same thing, understand. That's what's also important. They're still right now basically saying that nobody under 18 should be injected with this because we don't really know. But of course, they give you the caveat of, but if they're in danger, so that gives the person there to make up their own mind. So they can say, well, we think they're in danger because the media said so. So we'll go ahead and give it to them because they said we could. That's why that's like that. Now, here's the main point. Here is what PolitiFact says. And I only just saw this today. They say the World Health Organization recently revised its stance on children. That's the fake thing, right? Because they say it's the recently revised. Now it says, social media posts falsely claimed that WHO recently revised. That's what they're focusing on. Now, the posts were referencing an actual page, which we just showed you, but the guidance was originally posted on April 8th. Now, I find that really interesting. Now, is that the truth, or is that because that's as far back as they know we can look? Right? Like, is it really? So the moment, I mean, it does make sense. The moment things get updated is when somebody tends to jump on and archive it. So let's just take it at face value. It's possible that's not accurate, but they're saying April 8th forward. So that's when I see the most early outcry. Now, here's the point. It says, and reflected the organization's stance that vaccine supply is limited in some countries and children shouldn't be prioritized over high-risk groups because COVID-19 disease is milder in kids. Now, just so we're clear, that's not even close to what they're actually saying, and I'll show you right now. Now, it says the WHO updated the guidance for children on its webpage on June 23rd. That's also not accurate because June 22nd, I showed you, it's different. So I guess they don't, 24 hours, who cares? Who cares about the little facts on PolitiFact, right? Based on a recent scientific advisory meeting in which the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine was found to be safe for ages 12 and up. Okay, now, what I'm pretty sure of is that they don't think you're going to take the time to go back and look at these archives. They're just going to tell you this and hope that you just take their, look, because note that they don't have links to those archives. But lucky for you, I include these things for you. But here's what it said before again. No, well, so here, right here, in fact. Or actually, no, that is the secondary one. So here, oh, okay, yeah, right here. So here's what it said before. This is June 21st. Now, it says, take whatever vaccine, oh, this is just extra. Take whatever vaccine is made available to you first, even if you've already had COVID. Who cares that the scientific research pretty much across the board is telling you that one, there's no benefit to that. And two, there's actually lots of negative things that could happen. But trust the science because we don't care about that. Like it's just so frustrating how constantly we're being told trust the science while they're not even looking at anything new that comes out, unless it says good vaccine. But it goes on to say the COVID-19 vaccines are safe for most people 18 years and older. So that still states that, right? Then it says if supplies are limited, and this is what they're trying to blend with the second part. They want you to think this is all together. Oh, if supplies are limited in your area, discuss your situation with your care provider. Now, let's be clear. If that was part of that discussion, one of those bullet points would be if you're a child. But it's not, right? You can see that the highlighted parts are important, and it's not that they are part of each thing. It just so we're clear on how the English language works and grammar. The point is that this is what they're listing underneath this headline. Have a compromised immune system, are pregnant, have a history of severe allergies, you're severely frail, then and new subtitle, it says children should not be vaccinated for the moment, period. Now, does that have anything to do with limited supplies, which only seem to specifically say if and when in a limited and in your area? Not that because the country has limited supply, no children should be vaccinated. That is an intentional misdirection, an intentional deception. That's deceptive. They are lying to you from PolitiFact. I know, again, shocking. But it goes on to say, and this is the bigger point about why this is clear, there is not yet enough evidence to use there's not enough yet enough evidence on the use of vaccines against COVID-19 in children to make recommendations for children to be vaccinated against COVID-19. Well, what do you know about that? So it very clearly states the diametric opposite of what PolitiFact is screaming at you is right. I say screaming because that's how they present themselves with their, you're all wrong and we're right because we're telling you we're right. It says quite clearly that it's because we haven't tested this enough and there's not enough evidence to suggest that it's safe for children. And then they say it's only because reflected the organization's stance that the supply is limited and children shouldn't be prioritized because the supply is limited. Because of that's not true. I don't even need to sell that anymore. It's plainly, patently obvious, and they're lying. Now, the point is they said this, then changed it to the current. Did I have it up? This one right here, right? This one? This one. Okay, and here and back to the current one, right? So you can see still, they're still saying, if supplies are limited in your area, do this. So are we pretending down here that children and adolescents tend to have mild disease or don't? Like, this is a deception. So just so we're clear on this now, to get the reality out there that they are not only changing this the day after I think people started noticing that it said that, which is just as deceptive, because did it change because something actually changed? Because they didn't change what they're actually saying, clearly. They're still telling you children shouldn't get it and 18 and up is what we should do. They just changed the context because they don't like how it's being, how the truth is being, is leading to vaccine hesitancy. That's all that happened. And then PolitiFact does their job, which is to gaslight, to lie, to undermine and tell you what's not actually the truth so you don't go back and go, oh, this is the actual truth. That's what really happens. Now, I want us to reflect on the fact that a lot of people out there, a lot of people in the independent media are still reporting this as they, and then even probably coming back around and arguing that me saying this is somehow shilling for the WHO. That is the problem because the evidence is all there. The evidence was there before they fact checked this. And I said that in the first time I covered this show. So we have to be very careful, even because the bottom line, the takeaway, people can just be wrong. I've done that more than once. I've been pretty certain I was right on something and it turned out that it was inaccurate or something was wrong or it was a document that was fake, something. And I'll swing back around and be like, I made a mistake. It's important. Now, on that note about making mistakes, recognize that the media, your government, and of course, this is framing this as they're actually making mistakes as opposed to putting you in danger for their agenda, that even they can make mistakes. What's the point? But I just even before I finish the thought, I just don't feel like these people are actually doing this out of some good intention. I just don't. I find it impossible to believe with how obvious all of this is. Some of them somewhere, but from the top down, no, I do not believe it. But come to your own conclusions, as always. But here is Yahoo News. And it's another example of their revisionist element to the government right now. And this is not just our country. This is the world. That's why this is an obvious multinational agenda leading to the public-private partner government that we're going to end up with, it seems, as Professor Michelle Chaftovsky laid out for us, and the concept that this public-private crossover with the WEF and the WHO and these different international organizations are basically positioning themselves to become an international government that is clearly handing down mandates to governments. I mean, it's very obvious right now. Whether he ends up being right or not, we'll ultimately see. But here we are staring at some information that is being changed already. All right, so this is on June 21st. Interesting timing with the date we were just talking about. And here's Yahoo News reporting exactly what USA Today reported. More Australians, Aussies, have died from AstraZeneca-related clots than COVID. Right? So, period. They've died more from clots than COVID. And those clots happen to be more coming from AstraZeneca. Now, the question would be, if we're seeing... this is important in this case because Pfizer and Moderna, even though they have far, far, far more reports of clots and everything for that matter, are not being given in a lot of different places. So we're seeing AstraZeneca anyway, even though AstraZeneca was one that we already decided in our countries are dangerous and gave it to all the other countries, because that certainly makes sense, right? More Australians have died from blood clots than COVID-19 in 2021. That's not inaccurate. It's very clear, right? The point is it's a small number. The point is we've only seen a few people die, they're saying. And of course, because we're having all clots that were, you know, and this is verified. So people will try to disparage this as saying, well, it's because it's such a small amount. It doesn't change the fact. Why are we still giving people, forcing people in positions of removing their rights, putting them in a quarantine situation, removing them from their families, forcing injections in their arms, when right now more people are dying because of the reaction from it than actual COVID-19? I don't care if it's a smaller percentage. I don't care if it's one person to five. It doesn't matter. That is statistically relevant and nobody cares. And in fact, you know what happened? They very quickly hid the information. Here it is today. One day later, by the way, they changed it. This is today, but it was updated the next day. Here's what it's, and by the way, live updates, just to encourage, oh, maybe they just add it. No, it's not there. You can go as far down as you want. Well, these are all just the bottom ones. The live update part of this ends right here, right? You will not find any discussion in here about the Australian, the point. And, but you will notice if you can see, yeah, you can see it in the screen share. Look at the URL. North American borders remain closed. North American borders remain closed. It's the same link. It's exactly the same link. All they did was retroactively alter the most important part of the article because clearly they got pushback from somebody in controlling positions, whether that's an editorial team or the government itself. But they changed it. And you know what you don't notice? Any kind of an update, asterisk, you know, we changed the entire thing because of fake news, conspiracy theory, you know, whatever. This is the world we're living in right now. Australia's top medical officer urges nation to follow through on vaccinations. So they literally go from more Australians have died from blood clots than COVID-19 to you need to get injected with this thing. This is COVID clown world. And this should blow your mind if you haven't woken up to what's going on. Here it is. Check it out for yourself. Look at the information. It's pretty damn obvious. And speaking of lies and just overt manipulations from the very people that are supposed to be fighting for your safety, if we're believing the kindergarten version of the world, here's the CDC going, if you've already had COVID-19 and recovered, you should still get vaccinated against COVID-19. True or false? I can't wait to see how that ends up. I bet you it's completely one-sided and they don't show everybody, but here they follow up. Their answer, true. Experts do not yet know, they say, how long you are protected from getting sick again after recovering from COVID-19. Haven't we talked about that before? Yeah, we have. Get your COVID-19 vaccine as soon as you can. And of course, showing a picture of an adolescent because that's who they're targeting, right? Even though they have a 0% chance because they're fighting for you, right? Well, as I said, that's simply false. There is a Nature study saying you have antibodies for decades, likely a lifetime from natural infection. Nature, right? One of the most prominent, and this is one that is hard for these people to dismiss. And it says quite clearly, that you can have antibodies churned out for decades that stay in your bone marrow after a natural infection. And they're saying more specifically that they can make antibodies potentially for the rest of your lives. The NIH, by the way, also said the same thing. This is what's so frustrating about how we can have these so-called experts. This is on January 26, 2021, lasting immunity found after recovery from COVID-19. I mean, this is so crazy to me. This is the CDC saying this. And then it says, and here is the FDA. This is me saying this, sorry. The FDA is saying that they don't know how long the injection lasts. The injection. Right? This is the FDA saying the duration of protection against COVID-19 is currently unknown in regard to the dosing of the vaccine itself. Right. So the point is, the CDC is reporting to you a complete inverse of the reality, a complete inverse of the facts that are currently known. Which is that we don't know how long natural lasts, but get the injection because we know there's no problems. Even though all of the science around this has clearly shown that there is no benefit. Let me see if I can actually grab that. Oops. Let's see. There you go. Here's one of them, at least. This is the one I actually share with you. And this is just one of the studies, by the way. There is numerous studies. No point vaccinating those who've had COVID-19, clinical study, Cleveland Clinical Study suggests. And you can read all through these. There's plenty of evidence around this that's simply showing you that not only is there no evidence to be that it helps, but that it's actually causes problems. I mean, we're talking about antibody dependent enhancement and a lot of these different problems. Molecular mimicry, pathogenic priming. There's all these different things that we've been talking about, one of which, antibody dependent enhancement, is shown to be a problem. That a study itself found that it's very noticeable, significant, and specific, in fact, of antibody-dependent enhancement, meaning your body begins to attack itself. That they said this needs to be divulged to people so they can meet informed consent. This was in December 2020. Nobody's done that. You know, there's a lot of this information. These are all peer-reviewed science. That's the important part of this. They don't care, right? This was the other point that I always include, is this study. Also from, this is March 2021, found that a majority of uninfected adults, right? Whether or not you're sick, whether or not you've ever been sick with COVID-19, uninfected show pre-existing antibody reactivity. A majority. So if it lasts the rest of your life, possibly, and most people had it before you got sick at all, what are we talking about, right? And the FDA clearly says that we don't even know how long it lasts. So again, the point was the CDC is literally telling you, we don't yet know how long you're protected from getting sick. Again, that's not true. There's multiple studies that have shown that you have it for the rest of your life. They just don't care about that, but get it anyway. They're putting your children at risk. They're putting your family at risk. They're putting you at risk by hiding the science that they're pretending they're trusting. How crazy is that? Hopefully people that are waking up to this are just being blown away right now, but you know, it's a lot of them don't care to listen. Now, adding to that, for those that may think that there's something happening here, we're being deceived. Here is a new study. From June, accepted June 21st, in fact. Here is, just so we're clear right out of the gate, we're talking about MDIP. MDIP, every article on this is a peer-reviewed article, right? So remember what Denny Rancourt was pointing out, right? I mean, that they're the ones telling you that only peer-reviewed science counts, even though that's not actually true. Here is a peer-reviewed study from experts, lots of them. University of Medical Sciences, Pediatric Hospital, Department of Psychology, University, Change Health Science Institute in Germany, Department of Radiation Oncology, Independent Data Pattern Scientist, just experts, scientists, doctors, people with credentials that have, and by the way, put it forward, and other experts read it and said, we agree. That's what peer-reviewed means. So here it is, peer-reviewed. It says COVID-19 vaccines have had expedited reviews without sufficient safety data. It's interesting how that's just completely the opposite you hear from everybody parroting the mainstream media narrative, because that's the truth, in fact. And we've been saying this from the beginning. It's not hard to see. We wanted to compare, they say, risks and benefits. Method. We calculated the number needed to vaccinate the NNTV, the number needed to vaccinate from a large Israeli field study to prevent one death. So they calculated how many people would need to be injected with this to prevent one death from COVID-19. It says, we assessed the adverse drug reactions, ADR, database of the European Medicines Agency and of the Dutch National Register to extract the number of cases reporting severe side effects and the number of cases with fatal side effects. Result, the number needed to vaccinate, get this, is between 200 to 700 people to prevent one case of COVID-19 for the mRNA vaccine marketed by Pfizer. One case. While the number needed to vaccinate to prevent one death is between 9,000 and 50,000 people. You need to vaccinate 50,000 people to prevent one death. Now, you may think that doesn't matter because you think you've been told this is completely safe. But the next part is the reality. They're not. There's a danger here. So when you're vaccinating 50,000 people, you're putting 50,000 people at risk for something that only one person would be saved from. And then you add to that most people are not at risk from. Now it says with 16,000 as a point estimate. Now it says the number of cases experiencing adverse reactions has been reported to be 700 per 100,000 vaccinations, which is a lot. Currently, we see 16 serious side effects per 100,000 vaccinations, and the number of fatal side effects is 4.11 per 100,000 vaccinations. That is far, far more than people under 25, people under 40 for that matter. For three deaths prevented by vaccination, we have to accept two inflicted by vaccination. Hear that again. For three deaths prevented by vaccination, we have to accept two inflicted by vaccination. Conclusion, this lack of clear benefits should cause governments to rethink their vaccination policy. That is what the scientists concluded based on the data coming from the government. Just incredible, but it'll get dismissed, ignored until a month from now, Tucker talks about it and suddenly it's allowed to be discussed. Why can't this break through now? Because it's there. It should. Because you're being controlled. That's why. And when these things only slip out once somebody like that says it, maybe you should reflect on what that says about those people. And especially once they say it, and then it gets kind of relegated to a conspiracy theorist, one side of the two-party illusion, and then it actually only gets one part of the narrative out, right? Like, they don't really get into the big picture. Like, even talking about climate lockdowns, which Tucker just talked about, are they really getting into what that actually means, or only get into the Democrat bad guy side of that narrative, right? There's more to it, and that's the problem. Don't forget, by the way, whether you agree with this study or not, that the Wall Street Journal also just made the same argument. Are COVID vaccines riskier than advertised? By the way, oh, I just forgot the person's name. Thank you for whoever reached out to me and let me know this. They were saying, I actually, James Evan Pilato and Corbett do this all the time. I didn't realize that you could use the archive to get around the paywall, which is great. So everybody should do that too. But read you the parts that I said yesterday or day before. Differences of opinion have sometimes been rooted in disagreement over the underlying science, but according to these two PhD medical doctors who are, you know, right here, Joseph Ladapo and Harvey R. Reich, who are both PhDs, doctors. But the more common motivation has been political. They're telling you that politics has been more important to the direction of COVID-19 than science, according to them. It says some scientists have raised concerns that the safety risks of COVID-19 vaccines have been underestimated. Now, it goes on down here. The implication is that the risks of COVID-19 vaccine may outweigh the benefits for certain low-risk populations, such as children, young adults, and people who have recovered from COVID-19. I think that is an unbelievably obvious statement. My personal opinion, I'm going to go ahead and argue that we'll probably get to a point in the future where some people will be able to prove that other people, because others will just never accept it, regardless of the facts, that some people will be able to prove that most, maybe everyone, truly, we're at more risk by this injection when we truly find out the long-term effects of this and what it actually does and what it can change. Now, that could end at, maybe over 80s or however we look at this. Like, I just still doubt whether even any of this is accurate, seeing as how places like New York made it very, the reason that number was so high is because what is how they handled the situation. But anyway, different discussion. But the reality is, specifically, as the context of this, on children, people under 25, there's no way that they should be given this because they're not at risk. And there's obvious risk that they're ignoring around the vaccine administration. It says, while you would never know it from listening to public health officials, which in and of itself is a crazy statement, not a single published study has demonstrated that patients with a prior infection benefit from COVID-19 vaccination. Right? You listening, CDC? You paying attention? Because you clearly don't know that, right? These are the people that are supposed to be fighting for your safety around these things and the FDA for that matter. And they are lying to your face while other experts are out there trying to scream at you through the mediums they can. This is not safe. They know it. We know it. It's about the screaming minority they're pointing to as the majority keeping this going. We need to stand up and stop it. Now, here's the last main part. David L.V. Bauer, who is a virologist, I thought there was something else. He's just a recovering biophysicist. He's a virologist speaking out about the study from The Lancet. And he says significant loss of antibody neutralization versus the live. This, I believe, was the, I forget. I think that's the Delta variant, SARS-CoV-2 variant. Right? Now, here's what he actually says. Maybe I'll just play the clip for you. And this is very interesting. Oh, actually, that's funny. I remember I was going to start with this, and now I realized I forgot that. Let's see. Here we go.
Key message from our finding is that we found that recipients of the Pfizer vaccine, those who've had two doses, have about 5 to 6-fold lower amounts of neutralizing antibodies. Now, these are the sort of gold standard private security antibodies of your immune system, which block the virus from getting into your cells in the first place. So we found that that's less for people with two doses. We've also found that for people with only one dose of the Pfizer jab, that they are less likely to have high levels of these antibodies in their blood. And perhaps most importantly for all of us going forward is that we see that the older you are, the lower your levels are likely to be. And the time since you've had your second jab, as that time goes on, the lower your levels are also likely to be.
Now, I want you to listen to that again. And then I'll show you the study itself, or just to really include it for you to look through for yourself. But what's really crazy about this is specifically he's citing Pfizer, but he's saying it very clearly that you see a significant decrease in your antibodies, that even one of them, you see the risk, but and interestingly, that the older you get, the less you, and the less you have, which would suggest why people are more at risk. But doesn't that then also suggest that we had them before? It's an interesting way he phrases it, but listen to it again.
So the key message from our finding is that we found that recipients of the Pfizer vaccine, those who've had two doses, have about 5 to 6-fold lower amounts of neutralizing antibodies.
Now, 5 to 6 lower amounts of neutralizing antibodies. Pretty clear.
These are the sort of gold standard private security antibodies of your immune system, which block the virus from getting into your cells in the first.
By the way, watch this. I just find it funny that, you know, I don't know what he's working with right there, but he clearly spilled a little bit, but it happens to land right in what he's using. So just watch. It's just kind of funny. It seems kind of sloppy for a scientist, but watch how he does it.
First place.
Right there. See, it drops a little bit, like right before, and that just seems funny to me. I don't know why. See, right there, it's not there. You'll see the purple drop before he gets there.
So we found that that's less for people with two doses. We've also found that for people with only one dose of the Pfizer jab, that they are less likely to have high levels of these antibodies.
Sure. Just with one, you're less likely to have high levels of these antibodies. Now, think about what that might mean for somebody who, let's say, has natural antibodies, right? Or pre-existing antibody reactivity. Does this then do something to that? Right? Well, I'm going to point again next to what the Red Cross had to say, and that's quite an interesting clip.
In their blood. And perhaps most importantly for all of us going forward is that we see that the older you are, the lower your levels are likely to be. And the time since you've had your second jab, as that time goes on, the lower your levels are also likely to be. So that's telling us that we're probably going to be needing to prioritize boosters for older and more vulnerable people coming up soon, especially if this new variant spreads.
Which I find hilarious because it's, you know, yeah, but seeing as how older people have less, then we need to prioritize the booster that he just seemed to suggest would reduce your antibodies. It's just, this is the counterintuitive clown world kind of narrative, perspective. It's like, it doesn't matter that we just discussed how this thing is dangerous, but we still recommend you get it anyway. Like, that's what we keep hearing. It's just, it seems ridiculous. But to go back to this, here's what the, here was the study itself. You can read through it. It's important, as always, to read it for yourself in the interest of time. I want to jump over to this and show you individuals. This is the current update of this is the web archive. That's strange that it doesn't show. Usually it shows the archive thing up top. Anyway, you can see it in the URL. This is the archive. And what it says before they changed it, individuals who have received a COVID-19 vaccination are not able to donate convalescent plasma with the Red Cross. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. One is which they've already proven very clearly based on multiple scientific studies that the spike protein is in your blood, that within an hour, it's circulating your bloodstream and more than one is being produced. All these is very clear. Just because the media keeps saying things that are not true doesn't mean the science hasn't very clearly, scientific research hasn't very clearly shown that this is the case. They're just not talking about it. I've gone over all this in my show more than once. I don't think I have this off the top of my head. Maybe I do. Let's see. Is that the one? Blood clots. Let's see. Nope. I'll skip past it so I don't have to find it for you. But we've talked about this more than once. I mean, here it is right here. Perfect. This is a really important one. I'm glad I found it because I just want people to see that this is not something I'm just making up off the top of my head for those that are new to the show. Oxford Academic. Circulating SARS-CoV-2 vaccine antigen detected in the plasma in your blood of people who had the mRNA-1273 vaccine, Moderna, right? So it's telling you that 11 of 13 people showed detectable levels of the spike protein as early as one day after the vaccination. That's crazy. So the point is, that's a very big deal. And that's why they very quickly said, we can't take that, right? We can't take that. As well as the fact that they also are realizing the things that we just talked about, the fact that there's other issues here that could affect the use of this and it could affect people that then take that blood. Now, they then quickly, and by the way, funny part is, we'll just look at this first. Here's what they updated it to. The Red Cross discontinued dedicated COVID-19 convalescent plasma donations on March 26th. Why? Of course, well, due to declining hospital demand and sufficient industry supply. And you know what it says right now on that page while they claim that? Shortage! Severe shortage alert! We're all, we need blood as fast as you can. Wait a minute. How does that, I'm confused. Do you have a shortage of blood, or are you not needing it because hospital demand is down? Same point I made the first time, that just adds to it. This is simply just what they're claiming because they don't want you to realize why they can't take that blood. That's my opinion. But clearly, there's a need for it if they're claiming a severe shortage of blood. And then down here claiming that due to declining hospital demand and sufficient industry supply, right? That, I mean, look, you can't say sufficient industry supply when you're screaming that you have a major shortage. Everything is dishonest today, guys. We are all being gamed. They're lying. And this is how obviously falling apart this is. You don't get little things like that if they're not reeling trying to cover up something they've just messed up. Pretty crazy. Now, finally, looking good on time. This is the last part of it out here. I just want to list off some of these, the information. Here's the Defender yet again. You doing a great job keeping up on the information from VAERS. Latest CDC VAERS data shows reported injuries surpass 7,000 in ages 12 to 17. Just ages 12 to 17. A group that's at zero risk. 7,000 following COVID vaccinations. VAERS data released today by the CDC. This is the 25th. That is today. Showed a total of 387,000. Okay, so I was wondering how high that had went up. I was thinking maybe it would be closer to 500,000 at this point, but so we're getting close to 400,000, which is unbelievable. 387,087 reports of adverse events from all age groups following COVID injections, including 6,113 deaths, 31,240 serious injuries between December 14th, 2020 and June 18th, 2021. Now, I haven't checked what that percentage is. I guarantee it's higher than 20 at this point because we were saying that before. We are talking about the VAT. I mean, anything. You're carrying on a list for a decade of anything that happens every year. And one year, you get enough of those events to say that it takes up 20, 30% of the entire system. What does that tell you? There's a problem. Right then, in that moment, with whatever the event you're dealing with, there's no way you can pretend it's not there. And that's what people like the Wall Street Journal op-ed and these different people are pointing out. This is an alarming, the ignoring of this topic is alarming. They are actively looking the other way. And that is what's putting your children at risk. The CDC says roughly 4,100 people have been hospitalized or died with COVID breakthrough infections. Very rare after vaccination. June 25th. You know, I mean, and of course, is this accurate? Who knows, right? Well, this is only what they're willing to tell you. And that number keeps going up, it would seem, right? And I promise you there's plenty of people out there that are not telling you this. Now, remember, 1%. 1%. People are out there dealing with this stuff after getting this, and they're not telling anybody because they don't want to be an anti-vaxxer. Sort of how the discussion we just showed you. Oh, before I actually move past that, I forgot I wanted to play that other clip. But we just discussed this of people, the young girl, the 18-year-old who died. Their lawyer put out a thing saying, that's not true. That's fake news. The doctor himself went on record and said, this is not normal. Her brain was overrun. Every single venous sinus was overrun with thrombosis. Every one of them. He said, this is not normal. So I said, why would the doctor come out? I mean, sure, is it possibly like? Of course. But it seemed more likely that they just didn't want to be known as the anti-vaxxers or whatever. And the doctor's going, this is crazy. Same kind of thing. I promise you there's far more going on here than we're being told. But let's play this clip again so you can understand what was really going on around the convalescent plasma and what they actually said on the news, which is pretty crazy.
Your COVID-19 vaccine, you're going to want to listen to this. The Red Cross says anyone who has received their COVID-19 vaccine cannot donate convalescent plasma to help other COVID-19 patients in hospitals. That plasma is made up of antibodies from people who have recovered from the virus. But the vaccine wipes out those antibodies, making the convalescent plasma ineffective in treating other COVID-19 patients.
The vaccine wipes out those antibodies. That sound familiar? Right? Is that what we're literally just talking about? It's exactly what this is. Here's The Lancet. Right? At what point do we step back as a, you know, What's the opposite? What if they're calling us conspiracy theorists? What would they be? You know, it's, at what point do those people who are labeling all this truth conspiracy theory just recognize how ridiculous this is getting? It's coming from all the places we're supposed to be listening to. Like, I just don't understand the block. Now, here's what this article goes on to say, and I find this to be very hilarious because of what we just talked about. Yeah, I think it was yesterday. It says, more than 4,100 people have been hospitalized or died with COVID-19 in the U.S., even though they've been fully vaccinated, which, again, just is such a ridiculous comment, according to the new data from CDC. Now, it says, according to who? What do you know? Dr. Paul Offit. Hopefully you remember, we just talked about him. He says, that's to be expected. And they, of course, don't let you know that he has a complete profit motive for the sale of these vaccines, because, you know, that's not important to let anybody know. He says, the vaccines aren't 100% effective, even against severe disease. No, they're not 100% effective against any of it. They only reduce mild to moderate symptoms. It's funny how I, Ryan, in my room can know that, but this high-end expert doctor can completely not know that, even though it's cited right on their own documentation. But it goes on to say, even against severe disease, very small percentage of the 600,000 deaths. Right. Thanks, Paul Offit. You know, they'll see it. Oh, no, don't see it anywhere. No notation. Paul Offit has a clear profit motive tied to the vaccinations that we're trying to say are safe in this doc. Nope, nowhere. Well, just in case you forgot, here is lawfirms.com talking about the CDC members. More than 50 patents connected to vaccinations from those CDC members. You know, profit motives. Well, as it says, the CDC Advisories Committee on Immunization Practices, or the ACIP, members of the ACIP committee include physicians like Dr. Paul Offit. What do you know? And as I said yesterday, it's funny how that's the next day it happens again. He's the one that you'll see trotted out across the independent or the mainstream until they catch on that I'm pointing it out and they'll shift to somebody else, that they just roll him out because he'll say what he's paid to say. Sort of they roll out somebody, that's my opinion, in a court of law that, you know, one of those experts that's willing to testify that the guy did what they, you know, that he is crazy because I'm an expert, right? We all seen the movies. We all laugh about, we all know that that's a possible thing, that experts can be paid to do what they need to do to make the narrative stick, whether in a court of law or anywhere else. But because we've been like brainwashed into thinking that these government people are always good, looking out for you. They're altruistic people, righteous, fighting for freedom. No, it's silly. We're not in kindergarten anymore, right? We need to recognize these are human beings with motivations and intentions and selfish traits. We all have them. So when you look at this and you realize that Paul Offit is just oddly the one they keep rolling out, recognize what that shows you. Now it says, who also serves as the chief of infectious disease at the Hospital of Philadelphia, of Children's Hospital, Offit and other CDC members own numerous patents associated with vaccinations and regularly receive funding for their research work from the very same pharmaceutical companies who manufacture vaccinations, which are ultimately sold to the public. That's a disgusting disgrace of a conflict of interest, but they all have it. A significant number of the ACIP committee members receive direct financial returns when more vaccinations are added to the current schedule. Right. I wonder if that plays a factor in whether they decide if it's safe for your child or if they make a $100,000 bonus, right? Many own vaccination-related patents and or stock shares in the pharmaceutical companies responsible for supplying these new vaccines to the public. Others receive research, grant money, funding for their academic departments, or payments for the oversight of vaccine safety trials. That is despicably wrong. They're bribing these people under a guise of paying them for their work. Now, it says the following is a partial list of some of the patents that are owned and shared by members of the CDC or and or the ACIP, including Dr. Paul Offit. You see, it used to be a tenet of journalism, right? That nobody would disagree with, that you always, always have to point those things out. Yes, we're talking to Dr. Paul Offit. And yes, so you're aware he does have a conflict of interest. They're not doing it. You know why? Because this isn't journalism. It's propaganda. They don't care about what's supposed to be done anymore. That's why they don't ever cite two people and they just cite anonymous one person from the government. It's a joke. They are a big flaming clown shoe of a joke, all of them. And they know that. That's what's pretty ridiculous. Anyway, finally, just to add to the illusion of all of it, there's another person in government in Israel, of all places. Education minister claims health establishment is inflating COVID case numbers. A little late to the game, but good for you. Come out and tell it. That's everywhere. But I'm glad people are pointing it out. They're lying to you. It's just starting to come out of the seams, guys. It's about whether you can continue to fight for this, right? Stand on the side of this truth and make sure that you're pointing it out as it continues to trip out so we can grab them when they start to fall back into the false narrative, right? Oh, let's talk about the lab leak theory. China bad guy. Wait, Here's the U.S. involvement. Here's North Carolina, right? Here's the bigger picture, right? Make sure you don't let them do that. Yes, we should talk about these things, but as they try to couch them back into a two-party illusion stance, that's where we have to jump back in. Because this is, they're losing this. They've lost it, in my opinion. And it's about what we can do to keep this going forward in a truthful, positive direction instead of a new QAnon jumping out and pulling everybody back in. That's what's going to happen, right? I think that's going to end up being something like involved with the white supremacist direction, the war on domestic terror, the, you know, vaccine attacks on vaccine infrastructure and threats to the BBC and all the things they're trying to float out you right now. One of them is going to be picked. Just be prepared for it. Now, the reality is that might be misconstrued as me like somehow saying violence is going to come. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the government is going to institute that kind of violence, which they always do. We shouldn't. Violence begets violence, and that's what they hope for. But to finish off, I want to play this video. This is the last point in regard to masks. Just interesting point, just to show you on top of everything else, how that's one that we, I mean, look, plenty of people were talking about masks, but we have to, I mean, the last American vagabond championed that topic, and we drilled it into the ground. And that's why I've stopped talking about it for the most part, is because it's just brainlessly obvious. And it's slowly trickling out. And yes, probably people will probably point to somebody else to say they broke that story because they finally trip out and say it once it's allowable to say. You know, these quasi-independent medias on the periphery that are going to jump in and be like, now I can say this. It's going to happen. But as long as people wake up to it and realize that it's a problem and that it's always a problem, that we can reflect that they were wrong to begin with, then I don't care where it comes from. Here's Denny Rancourt, also being a champion of this topic. He says, I spelled this out in great detail on April 11, 2020 in my article, Masks Don't Work. This is an excellent video, which I'm going to play for you now. Now, the funny thing is that he was censored for it, right? A lot of it. Just to add to that, I want to make sure people remember that on every single article, including the one we're currently on right now, here's the article for yourself, on every one of them, I have this is where I'll add the links when we're done, as I do every single show. But I always include, now these haven't been updated for a minute, but so there might be some more recent ones I haven't added and so on. For the podcast, it's just a simple list of all these different mask studies that I think are important. Some of the most important ones are things like these Swiss policy research one that continues to update every month and so on, right? Including T-Lab important coverage, where some of these go back really far, right? Where we've been trying to poke through this narrative all the way back on November 4th, 2020, the great mask deception. Right? We are being vindicated. We have been vindicated. Because of people like Denny Rancourt, period. It's important. But let's watch this clip, and you can hear from another doctor, Dr. Bridle, who we've already referenced before, and does a great job showing you the ridiculous nature of this clip. Now, actually, what we'll do here is just last point in general was just to jokingly point out again that yet again, I believe this is actually the second time Matt Hancock has been caught breaking the lockdown rules. But as everyone keeps pointing out, why are people okay with this? Every one of the most prominent outspoken people about why lockdowns are good have all been caught breaking their own rules. And then all they do is go, I know I made a mistake and I'm sorry. And right. Meanwhile, your grandma gets arrested or your children get thrown in jail. People are being forcefully attacked and accosted for breaking these rules. And this guy just goes, my bad. Right. Gavin Newsom can go to the French Laundry and have an amazing dinner with 14 people and then be like, I'm sorry. I know it was wrong and I made a mistake, and then arrest people the next day. If you are okay with that, you're an idiot. This is dumb, because it's so stupid that you're okay with these elitists doing it. And it's, you know, a one rule for thee and not for me, right? Matt Hancock breaking lockdown rules is just the latest example of people setting the rules, refusing to follow them. Ask yourself, if they really believed they were in serious danger, would they act that way? Exactly. Now I'm going to go ahead and finish out with this clip, the mask clip. Please watch at the end, because Bridle does a great job of showing you everything I've been pointing out from the very beginning. Thank you for being here, guys. I love you all. I say this all the time, but talking with Whitney today and seeing where we've gone and what seems to be happening and how much we've really broken here and shown you and predicted and been correct about. And that's not because of just us. That's because of you and all the information you send. Every person in this chat plays a part in what we are. That's why I used to say a lot, and I need to say more. You are the last American vagabond. We are the last American vagabond, and we're changing things. So thank you for being here and continuing to fight with us against what is clearly one of the most important things we've ever seen, in living memory at the very least. I love you all, as always. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
I'm just going to provide the facts and let people draw their own conclusions. Here's the facts. With a lot of respiratory pathogens, they get transmitted through large water droplets, especially when we cough and sneeze. Now, the primary mode of transmission of SARS-CoV-2 is through aerosols. So there's three sizes of water droplets that can come out of your lungs. Large water droplets, so those are droplets that are over 60 microns. They have this trajectory under gravity, right, where they quickly fall to the ground. Then there's small water droplets. These are between 10 and 60 microns in diameter. And then there's what we call droplet nuclei, which are smaller than 10 microns. So we talk about aerosols, we're talking about these droplet nuclei and small water droplets. And if you want to visualize it, when you go out in the cold air in the middle of the winter and, you know, you talk about, I can see my breath, that's the aerosols that you're breathing out. That's the aerosol condensing in the air. You see a big plume, and it doesn't just drop to the ground. I wear glasses, so when we breathe on, you know, the lenses and fog them up, the moisture we're getting on there, that's the aerosol. Scientific studies before this pandemic have shown that low-cost masks, and so we're talking about surgical masks and the cloth masks we're wearing, these low-cost masks have pore sizes that range between 80 and 500 microns in size. So a huge range, right? The diameter of the virus is 1 micron. The largest possible small droplet that can comprise a typical aerosol and two viral particles is 62 microns in diameter. So I just want to put that in perspective. The smallest pore size is 80. So that means the largest droplet coated with the virus can pass right through. Now, air is always going to travel, you know, the easiest way out. So most of the aerosol leaks out, going up above our nose. The other leak points are right at the cheeks here. What people say is, okay, there's leak points, but if I have a properly fitting mask, surely, you know, what you said can't be true, right? So let me see if I can show you this. We've been told to use up to 3 masks. So I've got one, and I actually don't know if I'm going to be able to get all these on, because one of the things that's interesting, actually, my right ear pin now is permanently deformed a little bit. It sticks out from my head more than the other one. Because of all the mask wearing. But so let me put on, here's 2 masks. Here's 3. I'll put on a 4th one. I don't know if we'll get the 5th one on. Okay. So I got 5 masks. They're 3-ply surgical masks, so 15 layers. I'm going to seal it around my mouth. If this is true, the aerosols have come through, then this should fog up. We'll see. Can you see how foggy?
Yep.
Now, watch this. I've made a cross. Can you see my eyes through that cross?
Yep.
So there's so much moisture there that you can see. Look at that cross pattern. There's so much moisture there. So I'm not going to say anymore, right? All I'm saying, I'm just pointing to science. So this is crazy.
People should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it, because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.